Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where today we're going to be discussing this hot topic, God's will, God's desire. And that opens us up to a lot of questions. Is it God's will, God's desire that everybody is saved? Is it God's will? Is it God's desire that you are always happy? Is it God's will? Is it God's desire that people suffer? And on and on and on. This is a hot topic, and we have brought on our guest panel here, Jovan Stojcetović, who is the director of Project Learning here in Croatia, Gospel on the Go. He oversees our Master of Divinity program. In seminary, he oversees our undergraduate Bible college, and he also oversees our Bible school training. So, Jovan, with all this knowledge, let me ask you something. Is it God's will, God's desire, that everybody is saved?
He has desire, but if whether that is his... he has desire, of course. That is why he sent Jesus, but I don't believe that for everyone. He wants people to be saved, but in the Bible we read something else, that his chosen people are saved many times. So Bible strongly teaches us that he actually all the desires, but he does not save everybody.
Okay, so what you're saying then is that God desires for all people to be saved, yet not all people are saved. Well, that tells me that God then cannot pull off that which he desires. He's a weak God.
Well, he's not weak, and weak humans actually are weak. And for us, with all our emotions and confusion, emotionally we want to think that God will do what we want. So, I don't know, I am actually, when I read many passages in the Bible, like Ephesians, it's written God will, you know, he chose, he predestined. So, if excluding my emotions, actually God does not save everybody, but you know, sometimes when emotions are involved and people, you know, some we have loved ones, friends, and maybe because we desire, we believe that God also desires. So I don't know. I'm struggling with that, but the Bible is clear.
Okay. So there's a great verse in 1 Timothy chapter 2 where a lot of people say, okay, and it's a controversial verse. People say, well, 1 Timothy 2:4, God wants all people to be saved. Actually, other translations say God desires all people to be saved. Well, how do we answer that one? Is that God's will, God's desire that all people are saved?
Well, there is revealed will and, you know, God's eternal will. So eternal will is that only those who are chosen, predestined, will be saved. And he desires, he have desire. But actually, that doesn't mean that he will save. I don't know how to explain that. I'm sorry.
It's okay. This is a hot topic. It's, because again, you know, if you say that God saves only those he chose before the foundation of time, and again, you can look at Ephesians 1, verses 4 through 13, where you see the Father chooses, the Son redeems, those who had been chosen by the Father, and God the Holy Spirit seals those who had been redeemed by the Son and chosen by the Father. You cannot get around that. You cannot deny that. It is crystal clear in Scripture, Ephesians 1, verses 4 through 13, that the Father chooses, the Son redeems those who are chosen, and the Holy Spirit seals those who had been redeemed and chosen. However, when you come over here to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, and it says that God wants all people to be saved. God wills or desires all people to be saved. It almost sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it?
Yes.
Okay. But is it really a contradiction? The answer is no. When here in verse 4, it says God desires all people to be saved. You are a seminary student. We learned the Greek word that he uses for desire. Do you remember it?
Telo.
Telo. The Greek word he uses here is telo, means that's God's will of desire. For instance, God telo desires that people don't sin. Do people sin?
Yes.
Yes. God desires that nobody suffers eternal damnation. Telo. Do people suffer eternal damnation?
Yes.
You can't get around it in Scripture. Very clear. So we see God's telo, his will of desire, is a normal desire like we have, right? I desire, Jovan, that you always listen to me. Does that always happen?
No.
Okay. I desire that my mother would be healed of myasthenia gravis. That's a desire. But that doesn't mean it's going to happen, right? There's a different Greek word that is used for the word desire when it means God's will of decree. Do you know that Greek word?
Bulamai.
Bulamai. Bulamai.
Bulamai.
That is God's eternal decree. Okay? God, bulamai, decreed those he would save. Yes, God desires, telo, that everybody's saved, but in God's eternal purposes, God's eternal plan, God's eternal decree, bulamai, God saves those he had eternally decreed to be his chosen before the foundation of time. Does that make sense? You're looking at me.
Yes, yes. And now I understand from your teaching, there is different of the meaning of the word desire and difference of the mean decree or will. Will is something definite. Desire is like all of us desire. But okay, and I agree with what you said previously in the teaching that God desires more than us because we have sinful nature, we're not perfect. If we like this, if our emotions and everything desire people to be saved, how much more God?
Well, and it's true, and it's very interesting, again, in this context of 1 Timothy 2, where people will pull that verse out and say, well, look, God desires everybody to be saved. They don't understand the context here. The context here is that Paul was arguing against exclusivity. There were some false teachers back there in the church or churches in Ephesus. Paul wrote to Timothy, his young prodigy, who he left there in Ephesus and said, Timothy, you've got to straighten the church and the church is out. And the first thing he said to Timothy in chapter 1 was, you've got to get rid of these false teachers. We believe many of the false teachers were actually even elders in the church. They were propagating false doctrine that Paul describes in chapter 1 as they were teaching myths and endless genealogies that were promoting controversy and all kinds of speculations. And really, we believe that the false teaching was a combination of a mixed up Judaistic teaching where they were using the law but misusing it. So that was one form of false teaching. And the other form of false teaching were the early beginnings of Gnosticism, where these false teachers believed that matter was evil, the spirit was good, and that you could save yourself through your own efforts, through your super spiritual ability to gain this elitist knowledge. So really, in the church or churches there, Paul was instructing Timothy to get rid of this false teaching that was leading to all kinds of false behavior. And again, in chapter 2, after telling him in chapter 1 to get rid of these false teachers, in chapter 2, he says, in the church, I want you to pray for all kinds of people, even those who are in authority. He's talking about the lost. See, what was happening is part of what these form of Judaism, false teaching of Gnosticism, they were creating an exclusive club. False teachers of Judaism were saying, hey, you can only enter heaven through our exclusive club. It's the way we teach the law, through the way we do all this stuff. They created an exclusivity. The false teaching early Gnostics created an elitist attitude. Well, only we are saved because we have the secret knowledge. We've attained the secret knowledge. So you see, you have exclusivity and you have elitism. That was a big problem there in the church through that false teaching. And that's why Paul in chapter 2 opens up and says, no, Timothy, you got to get rid of this exclusivity, this elitism. And instead, he says, you need to pray for all kinds of people. There's no exclusive club. There's no elitist club. Why? Because you pray for all kinds of people to be saved, Timothy, because it is God's heart for all kinds of people to be saved. That's the context there. Paul was opening up the door. He's saying, Timothy, pray for the lost, not just for those who were following the false teaching of the Jews, not just those who were doing the false teaching of the Gnostics. Pray for the lost, because God has a desire to see all kinds of people saved. God is not about some elitist or exclusive club based on humans, a human tradition. The only exclusivity is through Christ. The only elitism is that we're children of God. But it's all because of Christ. So in this context, Paul was saying, Timothy, the motivation for wanting to pray for all kinds of people, even those in authority, pagan kings like Nero, who was going to behead Paul a couple years later from this letter. He says, Timothy, your motivation for praying for all kinds of people is because God's heart. He saves all kinds of people. You see? God's desire, telo, is more for them just what the false teaching Jews were saying or the false teaching Gnostics were saying. No, God's desire is much wider. In fact, in Revelation, then we read in Revelation chapter 7, we have a picture of heaven. You want to see God's desire? A great multitude, verse 9, that no one can count from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, and they were praising the Lord, saying, salvation belongs to our great God forever. God's desire is not just for a certain religious group or a certain elitist company. God's desire is to see all kinds of people saved. More when we after the break.
You're listening to Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic from his church location in Croatia. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go with a support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, where each week Andrew gives the Word of God via live webcast. For more information about service times and directions to Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, please find a link to their site at gracenetradio.com. And now, back to Hot Topics. Here again is Dr. Andrew Vuksic.
Welcome back, everybody, to Hot Topics, where we have Jovan Stojcetovic and a big hot topic here. God's will, God's desire. Does God will desire for everybody to be saved? And at the beginning of first part of our show, we dug a little bit into 1 Timothy chapter 2, understanding the background and context, which I hope helps us understand what Paul meant when he said to Timothy that God wants all people to be saved in verse 4 of chapter 2 and to come to a knowledge of the truth. And Jovan, you talked briefly of some Greek words that help us understand the difference between God's desire, his will of desire, right, and his will of decree. And this is very important, listening audience. You need to know this. God's desire, his will of desire, what's the Greek word, Jovan?
Telos.
Telos. It means God has a desire, just like we all have desires, right? A desire, God desires that everybody would be saved. No one would suffer eternal damnation. Nobody would ever suffer. There'd be no pain, no sorrow, no crying. God's a good God. That's his tell-all, right? Tell-all. But it differs from God's bulimai desire, which is God's eternal will of decree. Yovan, give an example to the listening audience.
Well, God desires that all men will be saved. That is written in 1 Timothy chapter
2, verse 4.
And then we have that God brought bulimai, that he decides actually who will be saved. Ephesians chapter 1. He predestined, there is God the Father, God the Son, the whole Trinity actually at work about the choosing, electing, predestining who will be saved. So now I understand that God desires more than even us as human sinful beings, people to be saved, all people to be saved, having in mind the background that Paul was fighting exclusivistic teaching, false teaching of Judaism, agnosticism. And the Bible is now clear since his decree is only his chosen people to be saved. Now I understand that biblically.
Right. Bulimai. God's eternal decree, right?
Is people to only his chosen elected people to be saved.
Correct. That's God's eternal decree. His normal desire,
telo is
he'd love to see everybody saved. But his telo, his normal desire, does not change his bulimai.
Decree.
His eternal
decree.
Or will, correct?
Yes.
Right? And again, we know from Scripture. I mean, again, just say 2 Timothy chapter 2. We know that God does not save everyone. Verse 19. God's solid foundation stands firm, Paul says to Timothy, sealed with this inscription. The Lord knows those who are his. Those who are his, who according to God's eternal decree, bulimai, are those who will be saved. Even though God's telo, he's a good God. He doesn't want to see anybody suffer from sin and eternal damnation, right?
All right.
Do you see the difference? Okay. By the way, it's very interesting. Matthew 1, verse 21. When the angel had said to Joseph that Mary would give birth to a son and name him Jesus, because he would save all people from their sins?
Many.
His people from their sins.
I mixed with Mark.
Yes. And there we go. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. What did Jesus say?
Many. He don't say all.
I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for?
Many.
Many. Do you see? Christ came to save his people from their sins. Those who, according to God's eternal decree, bulimai, were chosen. He came to give his life as a ransom for many, those who had been eternally decreed, bulimai, before the foundation of time. Right? Even though Jesus said in Matthew 23, as he was entering Jerusalem before he went to the cross, what did Jesus say about Jerusalem? He says in chapter 23, verse 37, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent you, how I have longed to gather you, your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. What is Jesus saying? What is his desire? Which desire? Is that bulimai or telo?
Telo.
Telo. Explain it.
Telo means that he desires, but that is not eternal decree. God does not changing himself, so his will, his decree is not changing. His desire, his desire can be something to do, but although because he cannot go against himself, his calling and righteousness and justice, his decree cannot be changed. That is how I understand.
Right. So, in other words, when Jesus said to Jerusalem, I've longed to gather you as children, was that his eternal decree, bulimai, or his will of desire, telo?
Will of desire, telo.
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 He longed for all Jerusalem to be saved. He came first for the Jews. So he had a natural, loving desire. Man, I'd love to see all of you saved. But that was not part of the eternal decree. Bulamai, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, again, same book, or chapter 20, Jesus says the same thing. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And it's interesting, in Matthew 25, we see this played out. Jesus is the good what?
Shepherd.
Shepherd, John chapter 10. He says in John chapter 10, I give my life for the
sheep.
Sheep. What about the goats?
No, for the goats, only for the sheep.
He says, my sheep know me, they hear my voice, and they follow. He said, I give eternal life to the sheep. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, who are the sheep? Well, the sheep are those, Jesus says, he basically describes them in Matthew 25. In verse 31, it talks about judgment day here. He says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. Do we agree with that, Jovan?
Yes.
Okay. He says, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the
goats.
He, Jesus, the good shepherd, will put the sheep on his right. What is that a sign of?
Sonship, acceptance.
Salvation.
Salvation.
And the goats he's going to put on the?
Left side.
On the left side. Now, what's Jesus going to do with the sheep? Well, he goes on to tell us. He says, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you, talking to the sheep, since the creation of the world. God's will of decree, his bulamai, is that the sheep who had been chosen before the creation of the world would receive their eternal inheritance, correct?
Yes.
Can anything change God's bulamai?
No.
Now, didn't Jesus also say that he had a desire, telos, to see all of Jerusalem saved, right?
Yes.
Was all Jerusalem saved?
No.
No, just the sheep in Jerusalem, right? What about the goats? Well, in the same chapter here of 25, Jesus tells us what's going to happen to the goats. To those on his left, he says, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and for his angels. So, when we go back to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, and people say, well, look, God says it's his will, his desire, that all people are saved. You need to understand the difference between God's eternal decree, bulamai, which is unchangeable, and God's will of desire, tela. God's, explain it now.
Well, God's desire, he desires, he wishes, he wills, but that is not decree, that is not determined, that is not going against God who is. And bulamai is God who is, his decrees, his unchangeable character, that cannot be changed.
Exactly.
So, he has intentions, but those intentions determine his actions.
Well, think about it. God was really upset. Remember when Moses came down from the mountain and he saw his brother Aaron, golden calf, the Israelites were committing all kinds of idolatry and adultery and things like that. What did God say? It is my desire to destroy them and start a new nation with you.
He said that.
Yes. Now, that desire, was that his eternal decree, bulamai, or his just normal desire, anger at that moment, telo?
Telo. It was telo, because then when Moses intercedes, he changed it. He actually didn't do what he said.
Right.
And we have good example, actually, in the Second Kings. You were teaching us about Manasseh and his actions. Although he changed and repented, God didn't change his decree to destroy Jerusalem or Judea.
Exactly. So we see that God's, okay, again, the example there with Moses. Moses, let me destroy these people and I'm going to start new with you. That was God's normal desire, anger, because of the idolatry that he witnessed. But why didn't God destroy them?
Because he made promise.
Boom.
Which is eternal decree, which is not going against himself.
There you go. He made his eternal promise, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, a people through you. And even though the Israelites had messed up, and yes, there was punishment because God did wipe out some of them, but he did not wipe out the nation. Praise God. Even though he was mad at that point, right? That was his desire, his anger flared up. But that did not change his eternal decree, Bulamai. We know as Christians, we cannot save ourselves, right? We don't choose salvation, right? God chooses us. Praise God for that. Otherwise, none of us would be saved. The good news is, you didn't choose your salvation, Christian. You cannot lose your salvation, Christian. Praise God for that. Because God's eternal decree, his bulamai, what he has foreordained for your life, will come to pass. And the good news is this. God wants us to pray for all kinds of people. Even those who today may look like they're as far away from God as possible. Why? Because God's desire is to save more than just us, right? God's desire is to save more than just a certain group. He wants to save all kinds of people from all kinds of classes, all kinds of races, because he is a loving God, a merciful God, and we praise God for that. Why do we do evangelistic prayer, praying for all kinds of people? Because we see that God wants to save all kinds of people. Guess what? I have a feeling, Jovan, he wants to save a lot more people than you and I do. What do you think on that?
I agree. Definitely more.
So thank God for his grace. Amen.
Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.